you're listening to the Sarah Fader podcast, this is what anxiety feels like. But it's really not even my podcast anymore because Evan's here every week. And we're here.
Oh.
Go ahead.
It's always your podcast. I mean, that's...
Well, maybe. But the thing is, we're here with my homegirl, Stacia Manger. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? Like, I'm waving to my microphone, like, hi, microphone.
Well, your microphone looks like a penis.
It does look like a penis. I'm just going to stare at it. Look at it.
Penis. Oh, my gosh. Did you guys ever play the penis game in camp?
Is it the one where you just see who yells it the loudest?
Yes. Yes. I'm so glad. You never played that, Stacia?
I didn't go to camp.
Okay.
It was just some guy in college who would try to play it, and we just were like, no.
No, I guess because you have a penis, so it wasn't that exciting, but, like, I'd start to be like, penis, and then, like, you'd be like, penis, like, really loud, and then everyone was shouting penis.
I did have a friend in middle school and high school who would just randomly stand up, usually in the lunchroom, but, you know, if we were, like, in the mall or something, whatever, in the hallway, she would just scream, "Man, I will not kiss you for a quarter!" And it would just be, like, one of those random things, you know, to embarrass the shit out of, like, your, eighth grade friend.
Yes.
You know what
I was just telling this story. I think I may have told it before, but it's still a great story, so I never showed up to pre-calculus class because I couldn't wake up in the morning, but it didn't matter because I'd already fulfilled my math requirements in high school. So I just didn't fucking care. So I would not show up because it was 8:10, and what teenager could get to school by 8:10? I don't know. I couldn't do it. And
I had to be at school by 7:20.
Okay, then I have no excuse. So, but I just never showed up. I guess because I was depressed. I don't know. And I never did it. And then the pre-calculus teacher, whose name, by the way, was Miss Slavin, an unfortunate name.
Wow.
And she had a receding hairline. And we all were like, get Rogaine. But nobody said that, really. So anyway, I never showed up. I never showed up, and then she gave me a 50. Now, the failing grade was 55, but she went the extra mile and gave me a 50, and I was like, why did you give me a 50? And she said, 55 is for people who try.
Wow.
Damn, Miss Slavin.
I wonder,
really kind of, yeah.
I think she's dead now, probably.
We were unnecessarily cruel as kids. Like, I remember we had a gym teacher in eighth grade, and her name was Mrs. Kapora, and we tormented her so bad that she ended up walking out into the hall one day and crying. Like, one of my classmates, he was like, "Miss Kapora, I have to go to the bathroom." And she's like, "Well, you're not leaving." And we had our class in the auditorium for whatever reason. It gets better. So she refuses to let him go to the bathroom. So he just whips it out and pisses right on the floor, right in front of everybody. And I think that is the point where she walked out and was just like in the hall bawling, like, I picked the wrong career choice. Like, this was a bad life choice. I want to end it. Let's go. You and me will jump off a bridge together. It was so fucking, it was awful how bad we treated her. Because
it's
she was
crazy.
This skinny little meek gym teacher.
Yeah.
She was the health teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just so skinny and like quiet and mousy. And so, shit, that is something an eighth grader is going to just totally like seek out. Like, they can just seek that out. And they were like, oh, there's a loophole right there. And and it wasn't even like we were that bad. We were like, niggle, 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 until one day she just went and just popped.
That was it for her.
And that was it.
You know, Evan had a great story, and this is like, you'll understand, you know, because we're city people, but this dude just whipped his dick out on the subway and pissed on the seat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, why? Just why?
You know what? Even living in the city part-time, even having city life half time, nothing surprises me.
No,
I see,
no.
You see all sorts of stuff in the city, and it's crazy, and it makes me appreciate the burbs But at the same time, I still love the city. I love the city.
Oh my God, you guys, I came up with a new word today. So I was talking with this client because I created this thing where I like teach people how to write books by themselves. Like, people are like, I want to write a book. And they're like, but I don't know how. And I'm like, you know how, you're just fucking lazy. Like, and I basically like help them to like structure their time and be like, this is what you're doing this week. Like, I just give them homework. So I was talking to this woman and we were talking about characters. She's great. And she's a therapist. I met her on Twitter, where I meet like the majority of awesome people. Except for you, Stacia, because I met you through your blog. But yeah, anyways, so I was talking to her and she was saying that one of her characters lived in between like rural and suburban place. And I was like, wait. I just came up with a name for this. It's rural burbia.
Rural burbia.
And it makes sense, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit in between.
Yeah, I wanted to just talk about, though, how Stacia and I met, which is I was looking up, like, sarcastic mom blogs on Google. And so Stacia's blog came up, which was failuretonap.com. And I started reading her stuff, and I was like, I fucking love this person. And then I remember thinking, like, wondering if Ari, at the time, who was, like, I don't know, three? Because Stacia's son is he autistic?
He's, like, high-functioning. Yeah. He's high-functioning Asperger's, and he's got ADHD.
Right. So I remember asking, because I was curious about Ari having autism, which actually they mentioned could be happening, like, based upon the social anxiety and the lack of eye contact now. So we were wondering about it. But anyway, that's how Stacia and I started talking. And then we became, like, really good friends. And we've been friends for, like, what, like, 8 years or something? Nine?
Something. Probably 10 almost.
10 years. That's crazy. Almost. Dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, because, I mean, we got, yeah, I want to say you found us maybe right around the time Kaya was a baby, right?
Yeah.
She was an infant. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I remember you writing about her getting RSV.
Yeah, that was a really scary time. Just how, like, that gave me legit, like, winter PTSD. Like, whenever winter starts rearing its ugly head, like, the depression just starts crawling over me.
You know, I feel like, okay, so that's interesting that you said that, because I feel like, and you might feel like this with the RSV, that I have medical PTSD. Because all the shit that's happened to me and my kids, you know, it's like, I don't even trust doctors anymore.
Yeah. No, you went through some serious shit.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Like, okay, so I just had another experience where I took the kids to the doctor because they were symptomatic and I thought they had strep. And so the nurse practitioner did a throat culture on Samara and she was like, no, it's clear she doesn't have strep. Lo and behold, the culture comes back and she does have strep. And so Ari went to the doctor, same thing. Rapid strep test came back negative. And I was like, listen, I know he has strep because my daughter has strep and he was hospitalized due to a complication for strep. So you need to give him antibiotics, right? And so here's Ari.
That you can have that sort of sticks with you too.
Yeah,
it does.
Exactly. Like what you know, because your sister, right, always got strep? Stacia? So,
no.
Oh, no, it wasn't your sister.
No, it wasn't my sister. Okay. She always got UTIs.
I knew it was something she always got. So basically, like, he's just a kid that always gets strep, right? And so I was like, listen, just prescribe him. And I know the exact antibiotic that works for him because he's resistant to amoxicillin. And so I was like, this is what you need to prescribe. And the fucking nurse practitioner was such a dick. And he was like, well, I'm not prescribing that antibiotic because it has a lot of side effects. I was like, I know. You know what it does? It gives them diarrhea. So what? You know? And he was like, well, I'll prescribe it to you, but let me know if anything bad happens. That's what he said.
That's a weird response.
Yeah.
Let me know if anything bad happens.
And I was like,
not something.
No, and I can't stand the passive aggressiveness in this area. So I was that's the thing is they can't deal with my bluntness. I feel like I'm more blunt here because it stands out. It stands out. So he's like, let me know if anything bad happens, like super passive aggressive. And I was like, you know what? Nothing bad's going to happen. The worst that's going to happen is they'll have diarrhea. That's it. Because
you shouldn't have to, but you should call them out. You should if it seems like it's unnecessary or unrealistic.
Yeah. Wait, do all three of us have OCD?
I have mild OCD. For me, it's more just the anxiety of everything around me being chaotic when my mind is chaotic at the same time. I need to feel as if there's some sort of control. It's not, I guess it would be a form of OCD, but I've never been formally diagnosed with OCD.
Right.
It was mainly like, yeah, you know, I say I have OCD, but it's more just, I need the space around me to be coherent because inside is just crazy.
Right. So you and I have ADHD and then Evan and I have OCD.
Okay.
So
the transference, so yeah.
Right. But I mean, by default, we all have everything.
I mean, the thing is, there's a lot of, I feel like certain diagnoses lend themselves to other diagnoses. And when people who have nothing, so they say, I have a touch of OCD, that's not a real thing. But like, yes, if you have other things and you have some level of OCD, that makes sense.
Well,
and
you know,
wrist and like, a little bit you know, whole
right.
Well,
you know,
okay.
But like, I can see you might have some OCD, and you know, it's a level of all
well,
the things.
Here's the thing: is like, it pisses me off when people do these things, like stigmatize the two. Well, all are mental illnesses, but so like with OCD, they'll be like, "Oh, I'm so OCD. I like color code things." And then with ADHD, they're like, oh, I'm so ADD, like, I can't focus. Shut the fuck up.
Yes.
You don't know what ADHD is.
No,
you know
right.
As I always say, like, you have OCD, let me know when you wake up when your hands are bleeding because you've been washing them too much, or you've gotten 1 hour of sleep because you've been checking things too much, or just any of this, where it's literally affected your ability to function as a functioning member of society.
Right.
Like, just right now, I had to put these things back into the book because they were hanging over the side. And I was like, oh, I'm going to just fix that right now.
No, I know. And then things will bother me like that, too. But also, like, the ADHD thing, I'm like, you know what? Talk to me when you've sat at the computer for 7 hours and you haven't done one thing. And you've been trying.
Right.
My brain right now feels like a whole ton of loose ends. You know, I got Christmas going on. I got, you know, this. And I'm trying to, like, make something of my life because my kids are, you know, they're back in school full time and they don't need me as much. And so it's, and then it's dividing my time up so that I have enough time to do everything that I need to do. So my brain is just like right now feeling like it is just like just loose ends just flying everywhere.
Let me ask you something. I want to ask you about like, why do you think it is that women do not get properly diagnosed with ADHD?
Because they tend to look for it in boys and men. I mean, probably more boys, I would say. But they tend to look for it in, you know, in that sort of... They definitely tend to look at males versus females. However, I think that with all mental differences, if you will, all of them, they all exist on a spectrum and in a form. Whereas, like, you know, like Evan said, you haven't washed, you know, you don't know OCD until you've washed your hands until they're bleeding, or you haven't slept because you have to check something. Wherein is like, I can say like, no, I definitely have some OCD tendencies, but I think we just all, everything hits us in different ways. So I think it's hard to say, you know, you have a blanket of symptoms. Maybe you don't have all of those symptoms, but, you know, that's, I guess, why they have those diagnosed charts and stuff like that. But still, what if you don't fit any of that criteria, or what if you don't fit some of that criteria yet? Does that mean you don't have it? You can't say that. That's a subjective thing, right? Because you can't tell somebody how they feel or how they're struggling. You can't tell somebody what their struggle is.
It's true.
For sure. And I think that people, I think disorders lend themselves to disorders, whereas if everything else is fine and you're saying, well, I try not to eat a lot, or I try not to, or I'm, you know, I'm a little anal about this or whatever, not necessarily a thing, but like I've noticed that a lot of people I've met who have bipolar or manic depressive disorder will have eating disorders or OCD or other things that sort of attach themselves to what they're going through. And I'm not saying that everyone who says they have OCD who don't have other things are not, they don't have OCD, but, you know, I feel like there's definitely something to where if you have a major thing going on with you, you're likely to have other things under that.
Well, yeah, I absolutely. Mean, yeah, I think so too. I think that's really well put. And also I think, you know, that's why I was misdiagnosed, because I think that, you know, my ADHD symptoms were confusing, right? Like, because a lot of times, like, women that have ADHD are more, like, daydreamy, and they're not hyperactive. Like, I'm actually really hyperactive, right? So that was misinterpreted as mania. And that's not even, you know, and actually, even my psychiatrist recently, like, I saw her yesterday, and, you know, I was like, I woke up at 4 a.m. after I smoked weed last night. And she was like, well, first of all, it was funny. She was like, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm doing great, except that I'm not sleeping well. But I smoked weed last night, and then I slept pretty well. And she started laughing because, you know, because I was honest with her. And she was like, what'd you say?
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, you're saying she laughed, but it should still be considered a real thing that people use to help their...
Yeah. Well, no, she said, right, there you go. The thing is, like, I asked her the other time that I was there, I was like, hey, can I smoke pot or whatever? And she's like, well, I would be careful with your anxiety, but just make sure if you smoke pot, it's low THC and more CBD. And so, yeah, that's
what, yeah.
You know?
Like, I was going to say, I definitely agree with that. The one thing I would say is that because you said you're on Effexor, right?
Yeah.
With the Effexor, you probably will notice, at least with me and Cymbalta, I noticed that I don't get as much anxiety feelings just because I think the Effexor, the SNRIs dull that anxiety significantly.
Yeah, and I mean...
At least for me, anyway.
It does, for me, for sure. The thing is, sometimes with Effexor, I get amped up because, like... the norepinephrine or something, I don't know. She was like, yeah, well, I mean, what ended up happening with Effexor, I was like, what the fuck's happening? I'm happy. This is so weird. And so right. I was like, is it mania? And she's like, no, you're just happy. You're just happy. But she said, you know, with the 4 a.m, like waking up at 4 a.m, she's like, well, you know, maybe hypomania, but I really don't think so. She said, I think you're just an energetic person. And I think, you know, like, she gave me some Klonopin to go to sleep. And she's like, just take it for 3 days. I don't want you on it long term, but, and see, like, if you can just get a couple good nights of sleep. And I did take it last night, and I slept well, and it wasn't, like, a sedating dose of Klonopin.
Oh, right. No. But, like, if you take that, I feel like, because I've been doing that with weed or with alcohol, it will... really bring you down.
Yeah, like, and I mean, I don't really like to...
I don't go right to sleep.
I don't really like to drink that much except for, you know, the hard cider, which I do like.
Yes, our
yes. But yeah, I mean, I would rather smoke pot, and I'm happy that I'm in a state where, you know, you can... I went into, like, the fucking Saks Fifth Avenue version of a weed store. I swear to God. I was like, what the fuck is going on? This is where the rich people buy their weed. I felt so out of place. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been in stores like that. It's amazing.
It's amazing. I'm not even kidding, Stacia. Like, it was like white counters with like the pot, like in these like display cases.
No.
Mm-hmm. It was so ridiculous. And the guy was like, I have epilepsy. So I know, you know, like I'm very sensitive to like people that are taking medication that want to smoke, you know, like I'll give you a strain that's like safe for that, you know? And
right.
I mean, people, they really do care here.
Like pot purposes, basically.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, like, you know, that place was like pricey, but at the same time, it's like, you're getting really nice quality stuff.
Yeah.
you know?
Just sent my dad up to Portland.
Oh, yeah. So, Stacia, we have this joke, like, every single podcast where I tell Evan I want to call his dad. And his dad is, like, always stoned. Always.
Well, at this point, right now, he's probably in a pot-induced, like, it almost seemed too exploitative. He'd be so out of it right now and probably so close to sleep.
The whole point of the funny thing is we've talked about like 5 million different things, but when Stacia and I were talking about what to talk about, we were thinking ADHD stuff. I don't know. What are some misconceptions about ADHD from your perspective, Stacia?
That it's, you know, this is a tough one. I guess for me, the big thing that stands out is that they don't learn in a typical way, and we still haven't really learned to accommodate exactly how they learn, unless you put your children into a school, like that's a special school tailored towards a person who learns in their own way. Like, we do have a school here called the Waldorf School.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like some weird hippy dippy school. It's accredited, I believe, but they learn in like some crazy manner where they don't have traditional classrooms and they kind of learn through exploring and doing. And they do this all the way until they graduate. But then, you know, do you mold them in that world knowing that in some way they have to function in the real world? But at the same time, if we embrace the arts and embrace creativity as an actual economic value to society, because it does boom the economy. I mean, entertainment is a moneymaker. If we push kids that are geared towards learning differently into things that are more appealing to them, and kind of nurture that from the very beginning, I have to wonder how ADHD would be if we had the environment to have children in a non-traditional learning setting.
Yeah.
I just firmly believe that kids shouldn't be subjected to sitting in a classroom all day if they physically cannot handle it. Like right now, you know, my son is basically struggling because, you know, he doesn't like sitting in a classroom all day. He's lying about his homework because he's saturated and he doesn't like that traditional learning environment. It's really tough for him to learn in. There has to be another way. We try to fit the brain as this like mold, right? And it's not. It's just so fluid and different from person to person. You can never tell how somebody else perceives the world. So how can you know exactly how they learn?
We have Waldorf schools too, by the way. We have them, and I have a mixed feeling about them because I feel like in some ways they're good, but then they have these like really loosey goosey rules about like, okay, like this kid is 8 but doesn't know how to read. Like I feel like some things like need to be, you know, a little bit more structured. Like that kind of makes me uncomfortable.
I feel like we're a country that while we value our freedoms, we still are based on, you know, this Christian, Judaic, you know, everything has to be structured. And that may have been the beginning, but that's not how people work. That's not how kids work. Everybody works in a different way. And when you say, make kids who aren't necessarily structured for basic public school education, which many, many aren't, I think more than people are willing to admit, you stigmatize them by saying, well, you have to go to a special school, but it's not like that. The thing is, people all learn in different ways, people grow and develop in different ways, and it's unfortunate that we're stigmatizing children by saying, well, this one way we've decided works is that's it, you know, that's it. And if you don't, if you can't, if your mind doesn't wrap around it, then you are weird and different. And it's like, you know what? How about not, as all of this, don't stigmatize. Say people are different and learn and process and do things in different ways.
I just wrote about this, actually, and I think that I'm sure no one read it, but it was such a good blog post. It was about, like, how we the DSM is based on, you know, symptoms, right? But not necessarily everybody has all those symptoms, like you were saying, Stacia. Like, but basically, the reason that we classify these things as disorders is because of this bell curve, where we have a standard of normal, and anything that deviates from that bell curve is a disorder, which to me doesn't make sense. Because if, you know what I mean, like, we have, on the one hand, we're trying to say everybody's unique and embrace your differences, right. And then, but then you're saying, but your differences are a disorder. So I feel right. like it doesn't, that's a completely hypocritical standpoint. So my whole thing is like, what if there's nothing wrong with you? Like, what if there's actually nothing wrong with any of us, but the only reason we call them disorders is because we are trying to make everybody fit into this cookie cutter mold, and if you don't fit into the mold, you have a disorder.
Yeah, that's basically it.
You know?
So, it's, you know, people who pave the way or climb their way to the top or what have you. It's, you know, the social contract of life, right? And there are people who like to make the social contract or kind of put their own rules into the social contract. Like, well, you know, if you don't believe in Christ, then you're different than me, and social contract,
well,
you know.
That's what we're learning about, people who have succeeded. In the past year, a lot of them are gross, pervy men.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the thing is that there's these, like, things on the surface where it's, we were just saying about how, you know, that we're teaching kids in school, like, be who you are, and who you are is awesome and beautiful and all this stuff. But then underneath the surface and, like, the subtext of the culture is, if you're not a white man who thinks he can do whatever he wants, then there's something wrong with you and you're not, like, valued in the society. So it's like, okay, so what is it? So then do you have value or you don't? Maybe, you know, like, it, to me, it's like, it's a lie. Like, telling people that they're diverse and they matter is a lie, because once you get into society, if you're not white and a man, then you're not going to succeed.
Right, yeah. And, you know, that's starting to change, too. I mean, you're starting to see the edges of that fraying, certainly in 2017. You feel like 2017 is the year of man revenge, if you will. You know, I feel like no man is safe. I feel like it's just like, you know, you see just a bunch of pervy men running down the street, like, looking behind them like, oh, God, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you wake up every day. Today, you know, the whole thing with Matt Lauer.
Right.
It's crazy, you know. And it's not a secret. He's a smarmy asshole. He's always been a smarmy asshole. There's no secret about it. And yet, like, he just went about his life and still, despite the fact, like, grilling Harvey Weinstein, like, everything, he still, up until the day he was fired, you know, until they blew the whistle on him, he was dropping his pants as, you know, as early as yesterday.
Right. Well, this is what I don't understand.
You wonder about the people, no, sorry, just, like, in everyday life,
not even celebrities, but this is what I don't understand about all of these people being uncovered. Is that why, as a society, are we surprised about any of these people? Nobody should be surprised, because you know what? The default, like, schema of our society is that men can do whatever they want. So what makes this surprising? I'm not surprised. Every time somebody comes out as a pervert, I'm like, well, yeah, because he's a dude, and if he has the opportunity to do it, he's going to fucking do it. So why are you fucking surprised?
I have no idea, you know? As a guy, but we'll say that it just seemed like, as a society, it's easier to just sort of go with the flow and not, like, we want to have our heroes here and our, you know, nobody wants to view, we deify people too much.
But I'm like, oh, Kevin Spacey is a pervert. Okay, yes, so he has power in Hollywood and he's a pervert, so I accept that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not surprised by any of this.
No, me neither.
Right?
No, not at all. And, you know, I don't think that, I wouldn't be surprised if there's at least one woman who will be, you know, whose cover would be blown as well. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, make the man to be the villain, but it has been a patriarchal society for quite a few thousand years. So,
yeah. You know. No, I mean, I was just going to say, like, yeah, it's not that it's all like, you know, a mass conspiracy of men who are perverts. I'm sure women are guilty of that too. To me, what it is that once you gain a certain level of notoriety and you get into that Hollywood environment, you become or think you're invincible. So that's what it is. It's actually not about gender. It's about the fact that you get famous and think you can do whatever you want.
But it's about power, and I think unfortunately, or for whatever, it's that the patriarchy has more power. But it's about power. It's not about sex. It's not about...
No.
I mean, that is what it becomes. But, yeah, it's...
Well, that's like... Well, like
men
right.
trying to exert their power.
Like rape. Rape is not about sex. Rape is about power and domination. Right? So that's the whole thing is that I think... And that's why... Not that this would ever happen to me, but I never, ever, ever want to be famous. I would seriously delete all my fucking social media accounts and do some other career, because I don't want to have the opportunity to go into that world. I would decline every opportunity that ever came up if that should come up. I don't want anything to do with that.
If this podcast becomes famous.
We will take money from Big Pharma. We will, sure. We will do that.
Right.
But we will make fun of them on the show.
Yes.
We will be, you know.
So, what was I going to say? What would happen? I mean, you're just doing this not expecting to get famous. At some point, you know, that might happen.
Well, I really don't want that. I don't want that at all. Like, I would like for us to make money off the podcast, and we've been asking for that for so long. But, like, we're not going to take money from, like, penis companies or, like, you know, we're not going to, not, wait, you, people don't manufacture penises. I don't think.
You know, real dolls exist, and they're becoming...
Right. Yeah.
But we want to make money, but I don't want to, like, live in L.A. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah, no.
I think we just want to make money.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Right? I mean, like,
so
I think
I give it 2 days before we get our best offer from somebody who doesn't want us to live in L.A., but will sponsor the podcast.
We will not move to L.A., that is what we're saying. We will not do that. But we will take money from cider companies, or we're not opposed to like Pfizer, as long as we don't have to talk about like Vicodin or
anything that we take. That's
right.
All.
Anything like we will sponsor Klonopin.
Oh yeah.
You know, or I don't know. I would never vouch for like Ritalin because I don't like Ritalin. I don't know.
Sure.
I guess
I just drug bias.
Yeah, I am biased against Ritalin. I am a Ritalinist. I just don't feel like it does anything. Like the crash is too hardcore, you know?
Right.
It's too much of a riddle.
It's a riddle. I mean, I mean, we could sponsor Cymbalta. We're a fan of Cymbalta, right?
Yeah, it does the job.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'd love to not be on Cymbalta, but it's the fact of the matter is that I just have to be on it.
Right.
For specific people, that's the thing that I've gotten out of this.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, some people like to have sex certain ways, and that's
mm-hmm.
fine.
Sure, know. That's true.
Some people...
Effexor gave me anal fissures.
Really? That's so weird. I'm actually experiencing some kind of hemorrhoid situation.
Yeah, like, I would, like, look in the toilet, and I'd be like, wow, there's just, like, a whole pool of blood in there, it wasn't even, like, it hurt. It was just, like, an anal fissure. Just
weird.
Ugh,
I actually am experiencing that. I wonder if I just need more fiber.
I would put more fiber in your diet. I mean, you can't have too much fiber.
It's true. We're almost out of, we're actually out of time, but I think that this had no direction, which is awesome.
Yeah, you know what? It went well.
It always goes well, but really the moral of the story is that we all three of us could benefit from more money.
Money, yeah. Ever, yeah. All of
them. I mean, I think that's the moral of the story.
I would like to not have to benefit from money. I kind of hate money just for what it is. It's really kind of the root of evil. Most people are working towards.
And well, I would like to go back to the barter system, which
that'd be awesome.
Which I still do. Like, I still, you know, I can't afford, for example, for a while I was bartering for personal assistant services. I would, like, write and then get an assistant for that, for writing mm-hmm. for that person. And I did a lot of that when I was really poor, like, and just at home with the kids. And I would be like, I can't afford this, but I'll do this service for you. You know, and that works sometimes.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, so where can we, Stacia, where can we find you on the internet?
Oh, honestly, like I have a defunct YouTube channel that I haven't put anything on in a little while. I'd like to get back to that because that's fun. But then there's that, you know, that aspect of like, oh, what if I do something that goes viral and then I am famous? And I'm like, I don't know that I can deal with that as an overnight situation.
No, but
I think for me, if I were to be famous, it would have to be by my own volition and not from some stupid thing that I put on the internet. But here I am putting stupid stuff on the internet.
No, but it's not stupid. And also, I feel like your YouTube channel could be really cool. Like, and we've been talking about this. Like, I think that because you have the improv background, like, you could do really cool stuff.
I could, yeah. And I'm working on it. My sound quality in my apartment is really sucky, so I'm trying to figure out a very affordable solution for that, and I haven't figured it out because my walls are plaster, and it's an apartment, and I don't want to, like, fuck up the walls, so.
This is true. Actually, no. I want to amend my I don't want to be famous thing. I would like to do what you said, which is be famous for something specific. And
right.
And I agree, but I actually would prefer to have a cult following rather than be famous.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Right? Just have, because,
agreed.
You know, like,
no, yeah.
Right? That's really way cooler.
It's an underground thing. Oh, absolutely. An underground following is way cooler. This whole, like, you know, I think my big thing is I don't want to shill a product for somebody else. I don't want to advertise a product. I don't want to take money from a corporation because at the end of the day, all you're doing is making more money for them and you're padding the pockets of like the CEO. I don't want to be somebody else's, like, I'm not advertising for somebody else.
Right. We on the other hand do want that because we want.
Yeah. Hey, and that's cool. That's totally cool. I just have like my own convictions that, right. I'm like, I don't want to be your bitch.
No, exactly.
You know, but
I was going to
say
that.
I get it. I
yeah.
get it.
I was gonna,
but I'm also
yeah.
in a different position too, right? Like, I'm cool. You know, I don't need anything in my life.
Right.
You know,
we need things. But I was going to say
yeah.
that you, I was going to actually literally, this is why we have the same brain. I was going to say, you don't want to be their bitch. Like, I was going to say that.
No, I don't want to be their bitch.
Yeah.
I don't want to sell something for somebody else. It's like that sponsored content
that's,
stuff.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, I get people want to get their hustle on and they want to make the money. And it's really about, for them, the bottom line is about making the money.
Yeah.
But I don't know how people sleep at night when they sell a product that they can't believe in.
You know what I'm going to do every day now on Facebook just for fun? Is I'm going to just put ridiculous things like, penises are great, ad sponsor.
Oh my god! There was a viral thing.
I should do it though.
I saw a thing that went viral on. It was
yeah.
something BuzzFeed picked it up.
Yeah.
So you know it was viral. It was a girl in, like, I don't know where they lived, but maybe England, and she was telling the story of her sister or her cousin or whatnot who went viral because she just stood up in the middle of the class and said, "Save $500 on bread. Click here." And that's it. That's all she said. And, like, the teacher was, like, flummoxed. She was, like, all sorts of, like, it freaked her out. She was, like, is this a cult? What is going on? Are we dying? Is the mothership coming? It was crazy.
Oh, my God. Wait. Oh, by the way, I just posted that on Facebook. Penises are great. Ad sponsor. Because you know what? Like, I think we should all just advertise, like, words.
Yeah.
Let's
save $500 in bread. Click here.
That's hilarious.
Couches with this couch has like a, we call it the stalker couch.
Wait, Evan, did we tell you that story about the guy in the couch?
No.
Wait, tell him the story, Stage.
No, it was really just like we were sitting in a hotel room. It was the first time we met.
Yeah.
And she's telling me the story of like something she saw in the news of like a guy who had hid inside of a woman's couch. Because he was like, they had dated or had gone on a date, but like she sat on the couch and it felt weird to her and realized there's like a man inside of her fucking couch. So when she told me the story, that struck me as so funny. Like you just picture this guy like just venturing his way out of the couch, right?
That like Danny DeVito, it's
all. Yes, exactly. That's that too. That's
but
another.
Also, like when we talked about it and when we Googled it, it's like, how does this, like, visually, like, how does that actually happen?
But also, like, in reality, holy shit, that's a lot more work. That's.
Yeah.
But I want to know, like, is it like a pull-out couch? Like, how did he get in there? You know what I mean?
Well, he's not getting into a pull-out couch. You're going to get punched. It had to have been something where, like, maybe he, like, ripped the fabric and, like, went underneath and basically was just under the couch but not in it. And, like, really, in the grand scheme of things, yeah, he was just, like, in the couch.
I just can't – I can't understand, like, physically how it's possible.
No. Just the whole visual of him like climbing out of the couch. Just, yeah. I love it.
It's hilarious. But no, seriously, Evan, you have to Google it when we get off of this podcast.
Oh,
and,
for
like,
sure.
And
I will.
Find
yeah.
it. I just.
Find a link for me because, you know, like, wasn't it local to you, wasn't it?
No, it was like, maybe it was. Yeah, I think it was local. It was local news. And I remember being like, what the fuck? Because I remember watching. It should, but I remember watching TV and the, like, the newscaster said it with like a straight face. They were like, news at 10, man hides in woman's couch and scares her. And I was like, how the hell, like, can you imagine if you're the newscaster trying to announce that?
Yeah.
I'm still having a hard time doing improv on the stage without laughing at, like, some of the things. People start laughing, and then I get into, like, you're like, oh, God, don't laugh, and you're just trying not to laugh, and you end up laughing anyway.
Yeah, that person is a hero. Like, I don't know how they did it. How they did it without cracking up. Okay, so we can find you on Twitter, right? Original Stacia?
Yeah, at Original Stacia.
And then Evan, we can find Evan everywhere at EvanJMO2. For Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, no, because Facebook is just Evan Morgenstern. I'm tired of Facebook, though. Like, I might have to deactivate for a little while, I think.
I don't get on there. I get on there, like, maybe once in the morning.
Yeah.
And then, like, again later on in the afternoon. But I can't. It's toxic wasteland anymore.
It's not even,
I can't believe I left that place at one point to the point it was, like, my lifeblood. Now I'm like, please don't. I don't want to do it.
Well,
it's
no, because
exhausting.
It's exhausting. And now all of – it's just people, like, talking about politics and also – and, you know, the other thing is I really – and you're going to understand this, Stacia, is, like, I really don't like – like blogger world drama where they're like, this person is a bad person. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. Like, then you know what?
Facebook.
Right.
Have time.
No.
It's literally, the internet has become high school all over again. And it was like that in the early blogging days too. Like, even when I was blogging in, like, early, like, 2001, 2002, there were so few people, but it was still like the internet was,
right,
A high school.
It was still clicky.
Yeah. And you just get to a point where you're like, you know what, I don't want that in my life.
No.
You know, even at the theater, there's drama, and I find out about the drama, and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I have no shame in that game. I don't want to be involved in it.
No, it's just stupid. And the thing is, like, here's my thing, is if you don't like somebody, then don't fucking be their friend, and don't talk to them.
Right.
That's
it.
You
don't have to, like, go out of your way to, yeah.
It avoid them.
Just don't avoid them. Don't talk to them. Don't talk about them. Just don't be their friend. That's it. And that's why I don't even like to go to Blogger anymore. Because all it is people being clicky, you know?
Mm.
Right.
I went to one Blogger, and I was like, this is, no, it just feels like popular kids club. And I'm, I don't know. I mean, I think the weird people need to become popular.
Yes. And the other thing is, like, well, I did like the one where Jenny Lawson spoke because she was very humble, and she was like, yeah, like, I remember going to blog her when, you know, when I just started my blog, and I embarrassed myself, and I went up to somebody, and they, like, you know, I put my foot in my mouth. Like, she's a very genuine person.
Yeah, definitely.
She's, like, she's a very cool person. But the thing is that, like, for me, I know that most of those popular people don't like me, so it makes me uncomfortable. And so...
Why?
I care too much about what people think of me. So, but, like, I know that they don't like me, so I feel weird. It's like high school again. Like, I'm like, the weird kid, and I'm sitting at the lunch table by myself, and I just feel, like, awkward, you know?
Oh, dude. I mean, I'm not a violent person, but, like, I'd be like, you want a Rochambeau? I guess maybe because I'm, like, in my 40s now, I'm a nice person, probably sometimes to a fault.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like...
So Evan fell off the planet, but that's okay. Go ahead.
I actually fell off.
I was like wondering. I thought you were. I was like, oh no, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate big thing, but
oh wait,
yeah.
Evan, you know what I was gonna say? I was gonna say before I forget. Sorry, Stacia, but I just want to say that Evan is very obviously Jewish, because he couldn't operate the computer in the beginning of this session and had to ask a non-Jew, his wife, to help him.
That's
yeah.
true.
No,
That's
I
true.
Did, yeah.
Okay, anyway,
she
so you were saying...
stuff, and yeah.
Yes, so you were saying about not caring because you're in your 40s.
Yeah, I just, I mean, yeah, I've gotten to the point now where I see women like that, and I'm just like, you know, in the cute clothes, and she's, you know, the fashionable mom who... Whatever, you know, great, good for you. I'm dressed in sweats, and I don't care what you think of me. And it's not like I've given up on life, because I haven't.
No.
You know, I'll get up and put makeup on. I just don't want to, I just don't care.
You know
what you think.
You know what this person said to me? I won Voices of the Year. I don't even remember who they were, but I remember going on stage and like doing my thing, and somebody was like, someone asked me, really nice person was like, how'd it go? And I was like, I don't know. Because I'm very self-conscious. And then some random person was like, don't complain. You won an award. And I was like, ouch.
That's not
on them. That's on you. Or that's not on you. That's on them, rather. That's
yeah.
their
right.
problem.
That's not,
they have an issue.
Yeah.
If you want to be, like, a cunt about it, that's, you know,
hold
that's
on
you.
Hold on 1 second, guys. I'm going to stop this recording. Okay.